Thank you. Our next presenter is Stephanie Marhefka. She's an associate professor at the Department of Community and Family Health at the College of Public Health at the University of South Florida. And her presentation is entitled Experiences of Women Living with HIV Participating in an Innovative Video Group Intervention at Private Community-Based Locations.
Good morning. So there's a need to expand access to behavioral interventions for people living with HIV. Effective behavioral interventions exist, but many living in more rural or remote areas lack access, especially if they're group-based programs. One potential strategy is to use group video conferencing to address this gap. Our preliminary work focused on women living with HIV. We conducted surveys with 92 women living with HIV and focus groups with 27 women. Of these, less than 50% had internet access and a home computer. They expressed concerns about their privacy and confidentiality, and in particular perceived the internet-based video phone as more secure than computers, which is interesting because they both work over the internet, and yet they perceive computers as being associated with security breaches that might come with other people spying on them on Facebook or MySpace or MyFace, I think they called it at some point. So we learned that the video phone was the way to go. Our study was called the HERS study, and the objective was to determine the feasibility, acceptability, and preliminary efficacy of video group delivery of healthy relationships, which is a CDC dissemination of effective behavioral interventions DEBI program for people living with HIV. We focused on women living with HIV as we had in our preliminary work, and as I mentioned, we used video phones to deliver the video groups. So video phones work just like group-based video conferencing. So imagine what it's like to be on a conference call and then to see everybody's faces. That's how the video phones work. Each person accesses the group from an individual video phone located in a private room. They access these in community settings like AIDS service organizations or health department clinics, wherever in the community the women told us was a safe place to go. An advantage of this is that expert facilitators are centralized in one location, so there's less training costs, and it's only necessary to have one person at a given site who can participate at a time, so you don't have that burden of trying to bring people together from multiple, from the area when you may not have that many people living with HIV in that area. Here you can see a picture of the video phone. In many ways it looks like a regular phone with a video screen on top. You can see that everyone's faces are viewable here. There's one person who has a larger view, and the reason is she's the person talking. So it's voice activated, so it changes the view based on who's talking. And here you can see a picture of an intervention station. Basic, we require that each place has a table or a desk, a chair, and then of course the video phone. We also give them a headset so that there's limitations to how much the audio can be heard outside the room. We know in many of these places the rooms are not at all soundproof. And to the right you see the picture of a facilitator station, which is housed in our university setting. So what's required of participants to use the video phone? Very little. We set it up for them. They basically have to have control over the volume, which is easy. It's just pressing a button up or down. And then we ask them to mute, just like you would ask people to mute on a conference call so you don't hear them blowing their nose and other things that not everybody in the group needs to know about. And then when we do role plays as part of the video group, we have them change their screen view so that the people who are actually acting in the role plays only see the other person they're role playing with. So it makes it a little bit more intimate, so it's more like a one-on-one conversation. Our research questions for this analysis were, how does prior technology use and comfort affect video group experiences of women living with HIV? And what aspects of participants' experiences are associated with program quality ratings? So women were recruited at care clinics and AIDS service organizations. We had 78 who met eligibility criteria and were randomized to our intervention or waitlist control, which crossed over into the intervention condition. Of the eligibility criteria, most important was that they had not previously attended healthy relationships in person. 62 women completed our baseline assessment and at least one intervention session. And as we did the analyses, we did not include missing data in the mean calculations, or we didn't have a imputation or anything for those missing data. Assessments were done at three time periods. So at the baseline, we assessed computer and internet comfort and experience. After each session, we assessed comfort expressing thoughts and feelings and comfort speaking with group members. At the immediate post-intervention, we assessed group cohesion, satisfaction, and quality. Here you can see that our mean age was about 43, which we thought was a little old, and then we looked at some other studies and found that that's about typical for studies of women living with HIV. About 60% were African American or black, and most had a high school education or less. Here you can see some data on baseline technology, comfort, and experience. 73% said they were at least somewhat comfortable with a computer. 39% had said that they were very comfortable. 71% said they used the internet at least sometimes, but only 44% said they had a home computer, and even less said they had internet access at home. Here you can see about 40% said they used the internet daily or almost daily, but nearly 30% said they never used the internet. So wide variability in terms of technology use in this sample. In terms of comfort during each session, we had them rated on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being very comfortable. So you can see that the mean values across sessions ranged from about 4 to 4.5. And generally, the comfort increased over time, which is good. That's what we would hope for. We conducted Spearman rank correlations, assessing the relationship between baseline values of computer comfort and internet use and mean comfort ratings across session. You can see that the baseline computer comfort was associated with mean comfort speaking with group members across sessions, but not with comfort expressing thoughts and feelings, although that was near significant. Internet use was associated with mean comfort expressing thoughts and feelings and also speaking with group members across sessions. Still, our comfort was very high overall. Group cohesion ratings were also high. Over 90% either strongly agreed or agreed that there was unity and togetherness in the group and that group members usually felt free to share their opinions. When asked about the quality of the Healthy Relationships video group program, nearly 90% said it was excellent, and the rest said it was good. Satisfaction with the intervention was generally high. You can see that over 90% rated the quality of the images as at least good or excellent, rated that they had received the information they wanted, they had received the support they wanted, and that Healthy Relationships met their needs for support. Similarly, they were satisfied with the location, satisfied with the facilitators, satisfied with the privacy and confidentiality that the video groups afforded them, and satisfied with the overall experience. Here again, we did Spearman rank correlations, looking this time at overall quality ratings and how they related to group cohesion and other quality and satisfaction ratings. So overall quality was related to the quality of the participant images, receiving the kind of information they wanted, and receiving the kind of support they wanted, not associated with the group cohesion measures. Overall quality was also associated with feeling that Healthy Relationships met their needs for support and being satisfied with the privacy and confidentiality of the program and their overall experience. So this study had a small sample, which does limit it to some extent, and we had no comparison comfort data for Healthy Relationships in person. So that would be nice to know how comfort ratings would vary between the in-person and the video groups. However, our comfort ratings were quite high, so I'm not sure we really need that. Full data are not yet available on our primary outcome, which is unprotected sex occasions at 6 months, but I hope to update you on those things soon. And then a limitation of our overall concept is that Healthy Relationships video group does require travel to a community site. Certainly in more rural and remote areas, it would be great to be able to offer a program like this at people's homes, but our preliminary work really suggested that that would not work, both because these women do not have access at home, generally speaking, and then their concerns about privacy and confidentiality are so great that they might not be comfortable accessing at home. Even if they were comfortable accessing the program at home, there's another risk of confidentiality that you may not think of initially, and that is that these women's faces are showing up on the video phones. So if I'm a woman living with HIV and I join the video group, and you are sitting at your house and somebody else in your house is walking around and sees your screen, then the person in your house is going to know that I'm living with HIV, and I may not be comfortable with that. So it is a limitation. I think at least at this time, this might be the best way to deal with that limitation. So in summary, most women living with HIV were comfortable expressing themselves, comfortable speaking with other group members, and satisfied with their healthy relationships video group experience. However, there's some evidence that previous technology comfort and experience may have affected comfort with the video groups. Overall quality of healthy relationships video groups was related to other quality assessments and satisfaction ratings, especially overall satisfaction and satisfaction with support they received, not associated with group cohesion. And again, our group cohesion ratings were quite high, so that may explain that. In conclusion, when new technology is easy to use and guidance is provided, which we did, women living with HIV can have positive experiences with technology-based interventions, even when they don't have prior experience. Further research is needed to determine how prior technology comfort and experience may affect our primary outcomes of these video group interventions. So I'd like to acknowledge NIMH. This study was funded by an R34 study, funded by them, and the USF College of Public Health Early Career Award, my participants, our community advisory board members, and the intervention sites without whom this certainly could not have been done. Thank you.